In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Scientific studies have shown that 1 in 5 people are weird. Oh, yeah. Think about the 4 people closest to you. If none of them is weird, that might mean that you are the weirdo. Of course, I just made that study up. But is being weird a good thing or a bad thing? At some stages of our lives, being weird might seem like the worst thing in the world to us. In some seasons of life, we desperately want to fit in, to be like everyone else, not to stand out, not to be called weird. Usually that means everyone thinking and acting and dressing alike. When I was a teenager, that meant for me wearing blue jeans that were faded and patched and wearing Converse tennis shoes. We didn't call them sneakers or athletic shoes in those days, and growing my hair to a certain length. Being interested in sports and interested in rock music was okay, but the fine arts and classical music, that was considered weird. Everyone always tried to keep a very calm, very cool demeanor. Getting too anxious or excited about anything was considered weird. Now, over time, fashion and music and such change, but the desire to be part of the in crowd stays with us all the time to some extent. Then, of course, at other stages of life, we want to be weird. We want to stand out from the crowd. We rebel against the norms. We want to flaunt our individuality, usually to get attention. We want to be different. We want to emphasize that we are like no one else. This idea was summed up well on a t-shirt. It said, "You laugh at me because I'm different. I laugh at you because you're all the same." There's a surprisingly good amount of philosophy on t-shirts. People who don't conform to society's norms are called nonconformists. I actually read a book when I was a teenager called How to Be a Nonconformist. But if you are following someone else's rules about how to be a nonconformist, then you really are conforming, aren't you? Weird, huh? So, what about you? Are you normal or are you weird? My theory is that 5 out of 5 people are weird if they are people of God and if we define weird correctly. That's because God's people are all weird. I will explain. Consider Abraham. God told him to leave his home and his family for an unknown destination. I'm sure that his family and his neighbors must have thought that that was weird. God told Abraham that he and his wife would have the son and be the founders of a great nation, although they were well past the usual childbearing age. That was weird too. And God gave Abraham the ritual of circumcision. Painfully weird. God gave the nation that Abraham founded, and we could call that nation Israel or the Hebrews or God's chosen people. He gave that nation some weird laws. What they could eat and drink and wear were all regulated, as well as when and how they should worship. Most notably, to me at least, is that the Jews could not eat pork. Can anybody really be God's chosen people if he denies them bacon? That's just weird. But God gave them all these weird practices to set them apart from the other nations, to make them different. God made them weird because they were going to have a very unique function in his plan of salvation. They were going to bring into the world God's word, his only begotten son. We might say Jesus was weird too. He was born of a virgin. That's miraculously weird. As a young man, he didn't seem to take much interest in making money or playing politics or having a family and settling down. His family and friends probably thought that was pretty weird. In the end, Jesus proclaimed that he himself was God. He ran afoul of the religious authorities, and he died on a cross rather than recant or use his power to save himself. Seriously weird. And talk about weird. Jesus is the only person in the history of the world to die and be resurrected, never to die again. That is gloriously, triumphantly weird. Before all that happened, a man named Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. Nicodemus was a man of wealth and position and influence. He could not afford being labeled weird for talking with this weird young rabbi, Jesus. So he did what people have done from the very beginning of time. He snuck around in the darkness. Jesus had some seriously weird things to say to him. Jesus says a lot of really weird stuff. For instance, Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Nicodemus must have thought that was kind of weird and kind of creepy, to say that an old man can return into his mother's womb. Jesus, of course, was talking about a spiritual rebirth. Jesus told Nicodemus that being born again is like having the wind blow over you. You don't choose it. You can't control it. It just happens. God does it. And that's weird, because just about all earthly religions tell people to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps to God. They do good works. They study their holy books. Maybe they flagellate themselves. They kill the people they think God hates. And it all means nothing, because we cannot raise ourselves up to God. Jesus is raised up on the cross, and we get saved by that without any merit of our own. And that is what makes Christianity so weird, that salvation is all God's action and not our own. But here, weird is definitely better. Being a Christian is just kind of generally weird. Christianity may be the biggest religion in the world, but how many people listed as Christians are just nominal Christians? Christians in name only, people without a significant relationship with Christ and his church. Maybe the majority are. If you are an active, practicing Christian, one who believes the Bible and worships, you are part of the minority. That makes you weird. In a world in hot pursuit of the almighty dollar, we pursue Almighty God. In a world that says, look out for number one, we look out for others. And you worship a weird Jew who died 2,000 years ago and rose again, and you believe that he holds the key to your future, to your salvation. You're absolutely right in that, but the world doesn't get it, and so the world judges you as weird. But hey, you are big enough and strong enough to take it, and what's more, Jesus is on your side. You'll be fine. What we do here on Sunday mornings is kind of weird, too. We follow an ancient order for worship we call the divine service. Even a lot of other Christians don't do that. They often say they have no liturgy, but they're wrong. All worship has a style and pattern about it, so officially it's liturgy. Now, in some places, it's the liturgy of the rock concert. In other places, it's the liturgy of the high school assembly or the pep rally. Here, it's the ancient liturgy used by Christian saints throughout the ages, focused clearly on Christ. It's not an award show where we congratulate ourselves. It's not a music program that we go to for entertainment. In worship here, God blesses us with the means of grace, the word and the sacraments, and that makes us out of step and even weird compared to Christians of other fellowships. Now, look at me. I'm dressed funny. Does anybody else here go to work in a white smock? Well, it's not really a smock. It's called a surplice, and it's something similar to what people in the earliest days of the church wore. It reminds us that we are in the presence of the apostles and that great cloud of witnesses. It also covers all of the differences between what pastors wear. The cassock and surplice that I'm wearing probably cost less than $200 years ago. You know, I talk to a lot of people who are very critical of the church because they see pastors on Sunday mornings and pastors on TV who are wearing suits that cost many thousands of dollars, and then they hit up their congregations for money for the poor. I'm glad we're different in that regard. And if you want to have some fun time, go online and look up preachers' sneakers. And you can see preachers who are wearing tennis shoes that cost $900,000 or more. Again, not going to find that here. You know what also is weird? We have Holy Communion here. And we have the audacity to say that it is Jesus' true body and blood. Now, we might attract more people with Starbucks coffee and Dunkin' Donuts. We might do better if we got all of that weird body and blood stuff and all the suffering and dying stuff. We might do better if we just cheered Christianity up and dumbed it down. But we're weird that way. We are not ashamed of our bloody, scarred Savior. We don't care who ostracizes us for being faithful and believing that what we get out of worship, grace and forgiveness, is worth the inconvenience and trouble of going to worship. We are not here to be praised in worship. The outside world cares about things like that. We don't. We're weird. We are here to praise and worship the one who gives us eternal life. We just want to hear God speak to us in his word, and we know that he hears our prayers, weird as they sometimes are. Nicodemus did not know who Jesus was. And spoiler alert for those of you that are watching The Chosen, when Jesus died, though, Nicodemus came no longer at night, but in the full light of day, to claim Jesus' body, and he didn't care anymore if anybody thought he was weird. If you are going to be a Christian, you're going to be weird. And that's a good thing. So we say, be daringly, decidedly, divinely weird. Embrace the weirdness and the wonder and love of Christ. Amen.